Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed, I must admit to you that when I'm looking for cheering up, Jeremiah is hardly the first book in Scripture that I turn to. So the assigned text for today, upon first glance, when I looked at it, I began to say, what a downer. In some ways, it's typical Jeremiah. It is a word of warning to all of Israel. Arrogant, stubborn, blind, deaf, who had the nerve to wonder and ask God why impending doom was coming down upon them. And God uses in that 22nd verse a very simple example. He says, haven't you gone down to the seashore and just looked how God has held the sea in and holds the mighty sea back? By the shoreline, the grains of sand and the beach that he places there, that the sea crashes against it, but always recedes and stays in its appointed place. Don't you fear the Lord? And Israel continued to refuse to see and to hear. Eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear or acknowledge the covenant God. And doom and destruction awaited them. It takes no mighty jump or tremendous exegetical prowess to see the spiritual application of having eyes but not seeing and having ears but not hearing. Eyes that refuse to see the God of creation and ears that fail to hear the good news, and hence impending eternal destruction for all of those who remain blind and deaf. And it is so easy for us to sit on a campus like this and say, well, obviously that is talking to the world out there. Yes, we certainly recognize that at one time we were labeled and named among the blind and the deaf and the dead. But we are now among the living, and so it is. My dear friends, because that flesh so tightly clings to us, and Satan is so willing and able to exploit it, I would share with you this morning that I believe that we choose at times to remain blind and deaf to God's will. Ever so subtly, and ever so arrogantly, as the children of Israel in before times. How easy it is for us to take our ungodly wrath and rationalize it into righteous wrath. How easy it is for us to see a supposedly good outcome of whatever it is our plottings and machinations and plans may be. And then subscribe really to the idea that the end really does justify the means. And it doesn't matter how I get there, as long as somehow the outcome is good. Or we hate and malign and destroy reputations and see no connection whatsoever to the fifth or the eighth commandments. And when was the last time we sought ways to defend and to protect the brother and the sister, while we claim to have no opportunity or time to do so? We need to hear afresh not only these warning words of Jeremiah, but the prophet Isaiah as well, referring also to eyes and ears and blind and deaf, when he refers to the coming Messiah and says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped." And how Jesus, referring back to these words when the disciples of John came to him, said, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the deaf hear." And so for us, my dear friends, who were not only blind and deaf, but also dead in our trespasses and sins, hear one more time, and I fear sometimes we actually get tired of hearing it, and what a shame. Hear that we have been made alive again. We have received new life in Christ. We have been given new sight. We have been given new ears. And then let us rejoice in that very newness. We hear the words of Jesus that said, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Look at the crashing waters against the seashore, and don't be blind. It is the same God who holds the waters in place. That is the one who saves, and saves powerfully. It is not easy to write a sermon like this, and I said before, ungodly wrath, good outcomes, end justifies the means, destroy reputations, don't defend and protect, and I can't write those words without having them condemn me. You must answer for yourselves. But the glory of the new life and the sight and the hearing is that it is also that God who saves, who says that it is He that works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. We need not throw up our hands in despair and say, "Well, I guess I must stay blind or I must stay deaf." is He that has given us new life, and along with that new life, new ears, and new eyes, and new will, and new deeds. And I think there's another very real part to seeing and hearing, and looking at the seashore and seeing the crashing waves that are still held in place by our God. How easy it is on a campus like this, and particularly midwinter, to get down. The money problems, the health problems, the sick kids, the papers, the studies, the grades, and all the rest. I fear again, we don't really see and hear, do we? We have a knack of taking those huge things and we say, I trust my eternal salvation to my God. Think of that. We have entrusted all of eternity to our God. And somehow find it difficult to trust the health of a youngster, the lack of finances, the difficult paper, the tough studies, the impaired relationships to a God. How foolish to say that God could save all of mankind by Himself becoming one of us and dying. Who can hold the waters of the sea in place? Do we see? Do we hear? That He says to each one of us, I love you. I take care of you. I know you by name. You are mine. No man can pluck you out of my hand. I've been there. I see, I nourish, I give, I sustain. We need also to look at the book of Revelation. We get so bogged down that we forget that the victory has been won for us, has it not? True, in this church militant, we go on fighting, but we go on fighting as ones who know the victory has been won and live in that victory. And then there is joy and rejoicing. We need not go around with each other and look downtrodden as if we've lost our last friend, including Jesus. There is joy in our salvation. There is joy in the epiphany of our Lord. The victory is ours. We live that victory. And we hear the words of our Lord speaking to us also out of that last book of Scripture. And we rejoice in hearing those words because He promotes the very hearing that He talks about. When He says to the churches, and we can apply it to us, He says to the churches, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. We that have been given new ears, let us hear what the Spirit says to us. You are my saved ones. You are mine. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.